Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back. You're in fact listening to the one and only. The freaking only one. Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going rad.
It's going pretty rad, you say?
Yeah. Do people use that word anymore?
I think people still use rad.
Well, that's... I will. I just did. What are you going to do about that?
That's the word of choice, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, so let's start the show off right. So you say, do we have some news? SPX is coming up, right?
Yeah, this coming weekend. In a few more days. We're going to be at Small Press Expo in Bethesda, Maryland. And we got table numbers and a table map.
Sweet. Let them have it. Show them what's up.
Our table is F3B. But I do want to preface this by saying I have heard news that the actual structure of the hotel was damaged in the earthquake. You know how we did our last show about the earthquake?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the hotel was damaged. So
Holy crap. Who knew it, man? Who knew?
It's at the Marriott Bethesda North. And so I don't know exactly what was damaged, but I have heard rumors that if they don't fix it in time for SPX, that they might have to split us up on two different floors. So, you know...
So that's to be determined at this point, right?
To be determined, but you can see at curls-studio.com where we're actually going to be located at the map.
Yeah.
So it's this weekend, Saturday, September 10th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then on Sunday, September 11th, from noon to 6 p.m. Be there, be at Small Press Expo, meet Joe and I. We're not going to be able to do a radio show, but we will talk to you if you come to our table.
Like, we're just going to do a radio show, like, on the spot, like, right there, that's what's going to happen.
If people only know us from the radio show, you know, we're going to be selling comics, comics.
That's what we do. One of the things we do as a team is we sell comics. We have a podcast, which millions of people enjoy across the world, I guarantee you.
All over the world.
We're not just blowing smoke up our own asses. We're trying to entertain you guys the best we possibly can. The Carolyn and Joe Show, sponsored by curls-studio.com and even PowerPlay.
Yes. Well, at SPX, it's also really affordable to go. For one day pass, it's only $10. And if you can go for the whole weekend for $15, it's pretty good.
It's pretty slamming deal. What will people usually see at SPX? What is it known for?
All different types of comics.
Give me that pitch of SPX.
And cartooning.
What does SPX stand for, Carolyn Bolesky?
Small Press Expo.
Of Curls.
Small Press Expo. Basically, you see a whole bunch of really awesome comics that you can't find anywhere else in, like, your normal bookstores.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I never see any of those. Like, because, I mean, I guess they're not really superhero-based as much.
Yeah.
Not like we have anything against superhero comics, but they are comics about any type of thing that you could find. Diary comics. I'm sure there's comics about cooking, or comics about people's trip to Italy, and comics about going all over the world, and comics about fun animals, and comics about anything else that you could imagine. So comics, just so everyone knows, they're not just superheroes. It can be about anything. It's a storytelling medium. But that's the cool thing about Small Press Expo, that you can do it all.
I mean, it's Small Press Expo has a pretty good history, too, because even, like, Frank Miller used to hang out there. Harvey Pekar was there, you know, having, like, a good time and stuff like that. I mean, it really is, they used to call it underground. Now they call it Small Press. You know, I feel like that's how it's, I mean, I guess underground, it's like how they change certain things, like, of...
And on top of that, there's panels going on for, like, the full 2 days.
Yeah.
So if you get, like... tired of walking around seeing everyone's stuff and being all encompassed by the books, you can always check out a panel and, like, you know, I haven't checked out the full lineup this year, but they have all these interesting panels about how to make your own comics and, you know, or, like, history of comics and people, like, it's really educational and, like, this whole study of comics, so it's pretty nice.
And that's cool. I mean, like, it's a 2 day thing.
And last year we saw, like, we were, like, right across the way from the Miss Maryland pageant. So it was awesome because we had, like, was that last year? Or it was either last year or 2 years ago. It was funny because, like, we had all these beauty pageant people on the one side of the aisle, and then on the other side you had all these comic book people.
Yeah.
Made for a good mix.
It's always interesting to have that mix of
Yeah, I was like, hey, I can buy jellies over there. They're, like, selling these fake boobies.
Fake boobies?
I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to get comics and jellies. I think it would be weird to wear jellies. I've never worn them, but I feel like it would make me feel like I was a fake or something.
What, just to wear jellies like that?
Yeah, because then I'd be walking around with my boobs all, like, pushed up and all big. I mean, not like that's bad or anything, but
not like that's a horrible thing.
But wouldn't you think that if you, like, had a boyfriend that they would all of a sudden touch it and be like, what the hell is that?
I'd say that's a pretty, I even spoke about that, a similar topic on that, the was it the Mawcast, or how do you pronounce that?
The podcast of Kickassery?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the one Menagerie where, of yeah, Kickassery.
You guys should definitely check out that podcast. We'll probably post it, addition to this. It came out the same time as last week's episode. But, you know, we basically talked about, like, the... We were supposed to go with a list of four things that we hated. And, like, that was one of my first things. Yeah. I really hated bad breast implants. And
well, that's not... I wouldn't consider that an implant.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, on the same topic, it's like... You don't want, like, yeah, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, whatever, wherever you live.
You don't want...
You don't want the person who's wherever you live. Yeah, you don't want to have... You don't want to lie. And you don't want to have a bad... You know, you like, boobs are special, man. Boobies are a really special thing. Like, you don't really want to fuck that up, man.
Yeah,
like
what
even if it's
you
fake.
Think that the girl, you know, you're like, wow, look at her boobies are so good. Yeah. And then like,
look at her boobies are so good.
And then like, you know, then you get her like alone and you're touching her and then you're like, what? This is not real. And you pull out like a jelly. You know, that would freak me out. Unless the girl is like smart enough to like take them out real quick.
Before
they get all frisky.
Would they be smart enough? I always wonder about that. Like, say, like if you do have like jellies or any one of those, because they had I'm gonna get you, sucker. They had that episode where they had a scene where the main character, I forget which Wayne's brother it was, but basically, he was getting down with the girl, and all of a sudden she started. Like, oh, wait, I gotta take off my weave. Oh, wait, I got a fake leg. Oh, wait, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of those. And he's like, what the hell is real on you then? You know? I always wonder how that's gonna,
in real life,
is this a jelly? You know, like, you pull it out and all of a sudden, like, your boob falls out. Yeah. That's a nightmare waiting to happen, Gina.
Well, like, the best thing overall is obviously to be, like, honest, you know?
How are you supposed to be honest about that?
I mean, I don't know. Like, especially the first time with, like, touching somebody.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, I mean, I guess, like, if I were to wear fake boobs like that, I would just try to take it off real quick before the guy grabbed.
How would you... Wait a minute. When they go into the bathroom and they're like, oh, wait a minute, I got to powder my nose, which usually means I need to go get some cocaine.
Well, I'd be like, I gotta get my cocaine, and then I'll take out my jellies and be like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. That's always... That's
and then he's like, you did all the work for me. I'm like, I know. But then, wouldn't the boobs be smaller, and then the guy would be like, wait a second. I mean, but, you know, most guys probably wouldn't even notice at that point.
I thought it was pretty interesting to go on to, like, another podcast. That's something that we've been doing, like, a bit, is being on other shows. Because we've been doing this, we've been doing our podcast for, like, a really long time. Well, you're giving me the hand motion?
Speaking of jellies... We're actually going to be on a show called Jellyvision.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to try. I know you're going to be there, but I'm going to rush my ass back from work to get there. I'm not sure when.
Oh, you're working on that day?
Yeah, I told you I'm working on that day. But I'm still going to try to rush back to make it in time there. But that's in Vienna, right?
Yeah.
I think I should be. I'm not sure what time it starts, but, you know, I'll try to make it there.
We'll post more information as the time gets closer on curls-studio.com.
It's next week, isn't it?
Is it really? Yeah, it probably is.
what is the week of that? Is it like the 13th or something
like
that?
It's like the day before intervention.
Yeah, that's next week.
Okay, well, we'll post soon.
We have intervention after small SPX, right? SPX
yeah,
is
like,
this week.
Yeah.
This weekend, coming up in a few days.
And then intervention is next week.
That's basically next week. We got slam-packed weeks of shows and appearances. We even just did you're going to be in an article on the Connection. You know what I mean? You're going to be there. You're more famous than I am. But I'm more of the sleeping dragon anyway.
You will attack.
What?
You'll attack when necessary.
That's right. I will attack when necessary. But it is fun doing these, I guess, going on other shows, because it's always interesting, because we've been doing this show for like a...
And we've also been on Brandon's show.
Yeah, exactly. Like being on
you
these...
You meet them, everybody.
Like being and also like seeing that there's such a community. I don't know. I'm not really a big word of community.
I don't know if I could say that there's such a community, but like there...
Community is a weird thing. I always, like, whenever I've tried to... Whenever
everyone's like, let's get together.
Yeah, let's start an art community. Let's do that. I'm not really a big believer. Maybe some people look frown upon me because of their naiveness about that. But it's tough when you're like, let's start a film community. Let's start an art community. And we're all sort of trying to go for the same spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, I've been with a lot of, like, sort of groups. You know, there's Project Res. Even like it's just from NWWA, a lot of groups who get together, and I know for a fact it's a lot I know it's more exciting in the beginning of that. You know what I mean? It's more
like
exciting
when you start
in the beginning.
It up.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's hard to get everybody on the same page, especially if like, you know, but think about like what in the world are like such the some of the largest groups.
Like Time Warner or something like that?
That's more of a company, but like a group, an organization of people. Like AARP is pretty big.
Yeah.
But basically to be a part of AARP, you just have to be 50 years old and older. You know, like,
that's
like
the
and then they're like, I'm a retired person and like I get all these supposed benefits.
See, like that's
so it's more of like a benefit for them. Like, I mean, I can see that being like a large group.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like they have much responsibility to contribute.
It's always tough because I always find that when people approach me and say, we want to make a community, and then if everyone else is like, we're going to make a community out of this, you know, I've been through that, and I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not saying it's horrible to have a grouping like that, but maybe it's just me. I'm not really that big of a group person. You know, I'm more of a team. You know, I like one united force, not a community. I mean, it's weird. I guess that sort of contradicts itself.
I guess the community like thing is like people aspect. Can like kind of ghost in and out whenever they want.
But
whereas like if you're a team, like everyone really is playing like their part.
Yeah,
to, like,
I'm more
make everything connected.
Yeah, I more appreciate like the team aspect of like, oh, we're a band. We are under one name and we fight like a gang. I like gangs. Maybe that's me. I just like gangs.
But
because
the
even
impression
like, even
that
with,
I get
like,
with communities, like I was saying earlier, it's like some people might be interested for like a couple months. Like normally people are in the very beginning. They're like, oh yeah, let's start this art community.
Yeah.
And they're all about it for like 2 months. And then like they'll slowly gravitate, step back. And then like a year later, you're like, where was that guy? He came to all the meetings, but then he like stopped coming.
Yeah, like a younger Joe would have been like, cool, let's go. You know, all right, you know, because I'm like, oh, let's go see what this this community, this whole thing is all about. But now me, like now I'm like, I mean, I bet it's awesome and maybe I might still be part of it, but I'm more hesitant to even like to say, yeah, I'm part of your group, because like at the end of the day, it's like I'm looking at the politics of what's playing into this group, because like really when it's a community, I feel like it's not... See, with the team, you're all under one banner. You know what I mean? It's a team aspect. But I feel like sometimes when people are trying to start a community, it's always led by one person or one... You know what I mean? It's like they bring it up as like a... They always try to present it as like this... You know, it's us. It's a family.
It's everybody.
But it's usually not. You know what I mean? It's it's tough to describe that. All for... It's like, you know, this isn't
well,
Three
I know
Musketeers.
I know it describes it perfectly.
What's that?
Our brand new Black Magic Tales story, which is premiering at Small Press Expo in the Magic Bullet
Magic
newspaper.
Magic Bullet, yeah.
Number 3. So, in case you don't know, Magic Bullet is a community newspaper.
Is it a community newspaper?
I would say so.
I would almost say it's
a collective.
Like, I would say it's a comic book propaganda.
Yes. Comic book propaganda.
What is the
brought to you by Washington D.C. based comic book artists?
I remember when we were doing when I was doing research for the spy story that you're working on, like the spies would have like literature like to influence people to do something. I forget what that's called. But I feel like that's what it is. It's like we're it's almost like this comic book propaganda to get people to do more comics.
Yes.
I like that. It sounds more dangerous, so I'm always gonna lean towards that. But yeah Magic Bullet.
Yeah, because like I think that has like all of our thoughts about, and it's called Join the Club. It's a Black Magic Tales story.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it has all of our thoughts about.
I say
like,
yeah a lot. Sorry.
Joining the club. I mean, I'm not against joining clubs either, but I can say I've been through my share of clubs. And I guess I'm like at a position right now in life where I feel like I don't really want to join any clubs, like at least for this time being, because I really did put so much energy into a lot of organizations previously.
Yeah.
And like, and I'm not talking about like, oh, I attended a meeting. I'm not talking about that type of like, you know, commitment. I'm talking about like I did some seriously like serious heavy lifting, you know, like basically like planning huge events at like the Smithsonian. Like with 250 people, stuff like that. Like it sounds easy. I don't know if that sounds easy to some people. That's basically like planning a wedding or something. But like, I spent so much time like doing things that people would never even notice. Like finding who are those people that do like hand gestures? Now I can't think of them.
Sign language.
Like yes, thank you. Sign language people and like you know, getting a caterer and making sure, like, everyone knew what time to show up and organizing, like, a set of 10 to 15 volunteers. Like, I mean, it sounds like it's probably not that much, but really, like, most people have never organized any type of event like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now when I look back on it, I'm like, actually, that was a lot of work, even though it didn't seem like it. But, like, I mean, I've done my heavy lifting with groups, and it also... Like, I mean, I guess people are appreciative, but at the same time, it sometimes is very thankless.
And also, yeah, like, what's the payoff?
You know, because like, usually, and also, I wasn't getting paid for any of this.
Usually, it just gets like, it's
not like my job.
It's like, well, if you're gonna, well, it's like, I look at it like this, like a team versus, I guess, a community or something like that. A team, to me, is like, you are in this position in the team because you are the best person for that job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel in
like
some,
like the goalie.
Yeah. Well, I feel like some other organizations, it's like, well, if you're not going to do it, someone else will do it because we're a community. So we'll all just do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll just fill it in. But I like the importance of a team. It's like, you're the quarterback, or you are the illustrator. You're the, you know what I mean? You're the director. You're the, you run sound. You're like, you're that team.
Or like a band.
Like, yeah. Or like a band.
You're definitely playing the
you're
drums.
You're playing bass.
And or, no one else can play the drums like you.
And then your component, like the greatness of the limbs of the body makes up the awesomeness of the team. You know what I mean? And that's what I feel that, like, that's why I like that. It's like, you know, there you have that sort of connection with a band, with a team, with a crew.
Yeah.
I
don't like the feeling of, like, you feel like you're replaceable.
Yeah, that's
you
horrible.
Know? It's almost like, you know, and also a lot of people have that feeling, like, in a job or just an everyday scenario. It's almost like they're like, oh, well... Who needs Johnny anymore?
Yeah, it's like, you know...
You can always find someone else off the street, and they can easily, like... I mean, in all honesty, though, most people's regular day jobs, like, let's be honest, like, most people can probably do some of the stuff that, you know, if you're, like, a cashier or something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you could, you know, show somebody how to use a cash register, and they could figure out, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, but those jobs are important sometimes, because if you don't have those, like, people need to buy stuff.
You need the pawns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need the pawns, but also at the same time, you need the queen, and you need the, I don't know the other names of the chess players here.
The knight.
The knight. You need, you know, you need those guys, and you need those executives. And that's how it's usually divided, like, below the line and above the line level. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's just
me. But at the same time, like, every position is important. That's why, like, even if you're not, like, a supervisory position,
yeah,
like, you still want to feel like that you are, like, you. They're like, you're the best person at being the cashier.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you don't want to feel like you can just be replaced, like, a day later.
Yeah, and that's one thing I feel, maybe that's why I chose the type of work that I do, my normal day job. It's because, like, you feel like, oh, we're getting you for you. You know what I mean?
She likes me for me.
Yeah. And I mean, like, maybe I know that part of me is already replaceable. You know, like, of course someone else could do my job, but no one can do the job like how I do the job. That's how, you know, you gotta market yourself like that. But yeah, like SPX, Magic Bullet's coming out. That's pretty cool. Like, it's huge. Like, Magic Bullet 3. I feel like Magic Bullet is going to be start... Like, this point, it's going to keep going and picking up. And I feel like it's an important newspaper, comic book newspaper for the DC, for Virginia. I mean, I don't know what else they have, but, you know, it's awesome to have it in this area. I mean, Rafer Roberts, right? Did he start that from Plastic Farm?
He was the editor of the first three issues.
But did he create... The idea.
I think might have conceived part of it, but I think there was also other people like supporting him, being like, "Yeah, that's good. We should do it."
But he's the one who did the follow through.
Yes, I think so.
The people who do the follow through should get all of the credit.
Yes, I know that the other guy, Michael, he has like red hair. His last name starts with an A. It's like I'm probably gonna mispronounce it, but I feel like it's, I can spell it A U G E R. Michael A U G E R.
Uh-huh.
He did some of the layout, like he helped Rafer assemble like it to get ready for print.
Yeah,
so that is also pretty cool. I'm sure a couple other people helped, but Rafer was like the main force behind it.
That's good. So my hope is that, you know, that we're able to be in the same location in SPX, like that same one room.
Yeah,
because that's always gonna
I don't want it to be split up, because like I know
it,
like,
was split up the first couple years though, like in two different giant rooms, right?
Yeah,
I remember you once were saying like I sort of like that, but then again, it sucked for that one half of the group that gets like,
I did like that, but also I wasn't exhibiting at that time.
That's true, because I remember going into several rooms, Remember there's that guy in Richmond who did the Crunk or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know. he just propped up in my head. I remember him being, like, established almost. I don't know what he does now. Maybe
I have no idea.
Took it as far as he could.
I haven't thought about him in a while, but, like, yeah.
Crunk.
I don't even remember his name. I have a couple of his comics.
Maybe we should try to find him.
Find him and track him down.
What are you doing now, Mr. Crunk? You know, it's like, I'm working for Time Warner now.
He's like, don't you know? I'm doing my thing.
Doing my thing.
But, like, I don't know what... He, like, stopped going to SPX, like, after that.
But he did it for a few years, too, right?
Yeah.
Already, before that.
A couple years. I think he
did it, like,
years. I
feel like he was, like, established, wasn't he? And at least how established he can get in the Richmond scene.
In Richmond, he was.
I remember, I just saw a tweet from Driven by Boredom, like, Igor Nate Smith, the photographer. He did a comment. He posted a comment about. I guess he's in Richmond because they're doing the Ross Harmon show, the dedication.
Oh, okay.
I directed their concert movie. I just want to throw that out there.
The Gaskets.
Yeah, the Gaskets concert movie. And he tweeted that, like, wow, Richmond is different, but it's exactly the same. It's like there's different. I think and he said something like all the girls now. All the girls now have tattoos on their thighs, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just basically, I think that's what he was saying about Richmond. It's like, well, there's different people, but it's like the idea of what it is to be in Richmond is still the same, I guess.
Well, isn't Richmond like the number one tattoo city of the United States now?
Is it? I didn't know that.
I think so. Pretty sure it is.
I wonder how they record that.
I don't know, but it was like on a major magazine or something.
Like Tattoo Magazine? Tattoo Weekly, the number one.
No, it was like on some like
city of the United States.
It was on some Richmond, like legitimate Virginia. News. Like, I don't know where I read that, but like Forbes or something. It was like some major like legitimate name value.
Name value?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It wasn't just like Inc. Magazine.
Oh, it was like Time Magazine.
Yeah, it was like Time Warner.
Time Warner Magazine.
Their third plug of the night.
I wonder if there is a Time Warner Magazine.
There might be an internal one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't even know why I brought all that up.
I don't know.
Oh, you were talking about Crunk.
Yeah, like, I guess, you know, there was a comic strip called Crunk back in Richmond.
How would you describe Crunk?
In the early 2000s.
Because I remember that being, like, everyone knew Crunk. Like, he even had his own stand in the comic book store, you know?
Yeah. Like, I don't really... I mean, it was definitely, like, felt very Richmond, and I don't even remember that guy's name, but I talk, and he used to come to Project Rez too.
Yeah.
And like, he had a couple animated segments of Crunk. And I mean, I've talked to him before. At one time, this is kind of gross, but this is what I remember when I talked to him. He was just talking about like a boil on his leg or something, or on his foot.
The hell's a boil?
It's like a.
I just want you to describe it.
You want to make it more gross than it is.
Well, some people don't know what a boil is.
They can look it up. That's what the internet's for.
That's my goal. That's my job. As I got in, we got to paint that picture for the people at home. So it's like, what's a boil? What is that? I'll play that role.
It's basically like this growth on a foot that, like, I don't really know exactly what it is. Personally, I don't think I've ever had one, but it's like a ball on your foot that like is, does it get all pussy and stuff?
I don't know. I've never had one.
I don't know.
I don't even know if it has to be on the foot. Anything.
I don't know, but I. Okay.
But he was, that's what he was
basically,
talking about.
He was talking to me about like he had like this like pus thing on his leg, on his foot. I guess. I mean, keep in mind this has probably been like maybe 10 year ago conversation. Like it really was like 2001 or 2002, and like the whole time I was just kind of nodding my head. I'm like, yeah. But then I'm like, why are you telling me this? Like, I'm like, you're talking about like a growth boil on your foot. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, I really don't want to know about this. But anyway,
it's always interesting when people like are so open about that to announce to you.
Yeah, and I'm
to
like,
anybody
right.
Really. It's like, oh man, these STDs are bothering me.
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm itchy down here. The crabs, they're taking over. But like, yeah, he just starts talking to me about his boil or something.
Crabs, they're taking over.
He was talking to me about his boil, and I was like, what the hell? Anyway, but yeah, like, that's the last conversation I remember having with him. And then, I guess I probably did run into him at SPX later on.
Yeah, that was the last
the last time I did physically see him, was probably SPX 2005?
I think that was
or
the
2004.
It was the one where Harvey Pekar was, because I remember him
it
being there.
It was 2005,
there.
I believe.
And I remember, like, that's how it was. If
I should have been like, how's your boil?
And, like, the, like, yeah. But it was, like, it was divided, like, the room. There was, like, three different rooms, basically. But then there was one, like, and they all got smaller. You know what I mean? There's that one big giant room, and then across the way there was like a medium sizer, and then there's a mini room, and he was like in the mini room, and there was no one in the mini room.
Yeah, I guess I can kind of see that now.
But also,
from an exhibitor's perspective,
I also feel like when you walked into that mini room, I remember you're like, "Oh, that's cool." Like you'd peek your head in, and then you wouldn't want to go in there, because everyone looks all like, "Please," like a bunch of puppy dogs, like, "Please
buy my stuff,"
and everyone's all like, "Oh, this is the quarantined area." Of the crowd.
I guess I can understand that. You know, at that time, I personally liked going into the different rooms because I was just like, oh, cool, you can go in like a mini room and like this one's smaller. You know, but I actually did like walk around everywhere. But from like an exhibitor perspective, I do like having one giant room. It feels more fair, I guess.
I do remember like, I think it was like I saw like Jane Saborsky or something like that, like a girl from VCU. And I remember, I forget if she ever told me, if she told me this or told you this, but like the response was like, "Hey, Jane," and she's like, "What are you doing here?" That is always such a weird ass like response to give anybody. Like, I remember like the first time,
like we don't belong there.
But I remember I was working. One of my first jobs, my first apartments was working sound, like on commercials and stuff like that. And I remember like a person that like I worked with a whole lot. Acquaintance, and I saw them like acting on there, and all of a sudden when we met, she was like, "What are you doing here?" And like in my head, I was like, "Hmm, so do you not think I should be here?" You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like, "Hey, cool, you got like awesome, you're doing this." It's like, "What are you doing here? Don't you think that's a weird ass response? What are you doing here?"
I guess I could only get that reaction if like maybe if you're in like a whole other country or some. You know, if you're like in Iceland or something and you're like, "Oh my god, what are you doing here?" You know, like maybe I can kind of let slide.
But see, this is how I would use the phrase, "Oh, what are you doing here?" All right, so it's sort of like a person. All right, I don't know. Like we'll do it in comic terms, right?
Okay.
So, we're at like New York Comic Con and I see a person that I know does not read comics, hates superheroes and is like just like, you know, a complete snob or jock, right? And I bump into them, and like the first thing I'd say, like, "What are you doing here? You don't like comics?" Like, it's like, "What are you doing here?" Like, that's what it comes to. It's like, "You're not supposed to be here. What are you doing here?"
And they're like, "I came to see Felicia Day."
Yeah, like, that's what I'm... But yeah, that's like, that's you know, like, when someone uses that type of phrase, "What are you doing there?" It's sort of like, "Oh, you're not supposed to be here. You're breaking the rules."
Yeah. So what about, like... You know, so that's acceptable to say that maybe she thought that you didn't like comics at all or something.
Maybe she's a stupid ass. I make
comics, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of Krunk and also curls, the late great teacher I had for one of my first graphic design classes, Patrick Power, before he died, he actually, like... wrote me something. I think it was on email because I don't remember it in person. It's hard to remember these things because it's been a while. You know, it's been like 8 years or something. But I remember he told me, he was like, "Yeah, when I think of Richmond," he's like, "I think of Krunk and Curls."
Krunk and Curls.
No, but I think that was like such an awesome thing to actually say.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, wow, like that's what he thinks of when he thinks of like the whole city.
You know, like, and curls. Like it's a good contrast.
Like, we basically, like, owned the city, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I think... But it is true. Like, out of the... at least, I don't know what's going on in the Richmond scene at this very moment. Like, I don't know what the comics are there. But, like, I've really felt like, at least, you know, by, like, 2004, I really felt like the comic scene was basically Curls and Krunk.
That was actually one of the things when I was interviewed for that The Connection newspaper that's coming out this week. That you're gonna be in there. They asked me like, "So tell me about Curls. Like, what do you think about Curls?" And like, I told the story of you know, when it was coming out in Richmond. I was like, "You have Curls, then you have everyone else's art school stuff." That was like, "Oh, I'm overly sarcastic and I'm a smartass," or I'm like, you know, like, or it's like, you know, like it's either like the punk dark darkness or like the suicidal or like, you know, like that's the one thing I enjoyed about Curls was that it was completely identifiable and in its own entire beast. That's enjoyable. That's not trying to be too hardcore self-important. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like I guess in short, it has legs. Like, to me, it had legs. It's like, cool, this could reach outside of like the city. This is something that's more fun in any place as opposed to just like, oh yeah, this is a local thing.
And yeah,
a local thing again is to me like I always have that problem of like, oh, don't you want to be local, like a community?
Don't you want to be a community?
That's sort of trouble with me. It's
one because, city, our city,
because being
Richmond.
Being a community or a part of that has burned me in the past already. So, but that's what I liked about like Curls, and that's what I told them.
I did have like a local, I guess, vision for a few of the strips. I remember I did a snow one about Richmond, and then I did
But I think
you
that's
know the
village,
you know, the Village Cafe.
Yeah,
I did have a moment where Curls and Toast went in there for like a couple strips.
But I also feel like that would happen if you were in any other. It's where you were at the time too. So you're gonna write about the situations around you.
Yeah. I feel like the Curls strip has like changed to a broader worldview than Richmond.
Yeah, it's actually not even world. It's like I said in the connection. It's like it's its own world. It's developed its own characters and their own talk. You know what I mean? That's a lot. I think that's even more.
I even made up my own words.
Yeah, you made up your own words, and that, you know, it's fun too. So stuff like that. So yeah, SPX again. That's where you can find a lot of them. You can find a lot of other people that do that. And also when you check out the I don't even know how it's going to be distributed, the Magic Bullet. I guess we're all just going to have some.
I think,
because
like,
it's free,
Rafer,
right? This one's free?
It's free. He's probably going to have some out on the free table. And like right when you come in, you know, there's like a sign-in area and you pay for your badge and all that. You pay at the door. And there's like a table really located nearby there that has a whole bunch of free stuff. Like people will put out promos, like bookmarks and postcards and stuff, and I'm assuming some of the Magic Bullet number 3 will be put over to that side, and then also we're gonna have people that are local creators are probably gonna have like a handful at their table, so I'm pretty sure it will be easily accessible. Of course, you can always find our table, and we'll try to give you one.
So you told me that there's another hurricane coming now at this very moment as we record this.
It's a tropical storm.
A tropical storm.
Yes, I forget the name of it.
Like Kofi Kingston, tropical storm.
Yeah, it's just
Trouble
like,
in Paradise.
It's just like, you know, it's just 3 days of rain coming up. Trouble in Paradise.
Very interesting times, man. Very interesting times. Another interesting thing that happened is that while we were driving, we were just going to Michael's to get some supplies, right?
Surprise.
And I don't know about you guys, but when you're driving in the area of North Virginia, between you and I, there's a lot of freaking straight up dumb assholes out there, man.
I really do feel that DC area has the worst traffic. I mean, I haven't been all around the world to like certainly like stamp that officially, but from my experience of driving, I really think that DC area probably has the worst congestion.
But see, while we had the sort of, not an altercation today, but while I was thinking about that, because, you know, today there was like some sort of black chick on my ass, like I was going like I was, you know, above the speed limit already, and she's like pushing me, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you feel that, we're like, and they're flashing
she's
their lights
flashing
behind me.
Flashing her lights.
And then what's
like,
even...
Move it, bub.
Yeah, like, I don't know. So, like, yeah, I'm driving normal speed. You know, like, I guess I'm in the fast lane. I'm going, you know, I don't want to say how fast I'm going. But I'm going at the proper speed, right? And then I see this... The first thing I see is that muscle car behind me that gets out of the way. And then behind them, all of a sudden, is flashing lights. Like, a girl, like someone's... not a girl, but a car is flashing their lights at me. And I'm all, like, in my head, I'm like... Huh, I'm going the right speed. I'm not. Why do I have to get out of the way?
Get out the way.
It always makes you sort of feel like, you know, am I the asshole here? Because, like, I didn't get out of the way because they're flashing their lights. Do I need to flash my lights? Or do I need to, like, do I need to get out of the way? Like, let me ask you that question, Carolyn. Am I required?
Well, first of all, you didn't have any room to.
Yeah.
That muscle car was to the right of you.
Yeah, well, I sped
had no
up.
Room.
Like, yeah, I sped up. You know what I mean? Because they're pushing me, so I'm like, okay, I'll go a little faster. But it's also sort of like, now it's like, okay, like, am I gonna, do I really need to move?
I mean, I would feel like it would be a major emergency if, like, she was, like, honking and flashing her lights and it was like, woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that I would, like, try to get out of the way. But she didn't honk and she was just, like, she probably flashed her lights, like, twice.
Now, let's go through my thought process here. Okay, we're driving normal, we're driving at good speed. You know, we're in the fast lane. So I'm already, like, okay, we're going pretty good distance, right? And then, you know, I'm going with the flow of the traffic. And then I see the muscle car behind me, and then I see the other car behind me, and they start flashing my lights. I'm like, okay, I'll speed up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they're like up on my ass and like constantly like flashing my lights. You know, and there comes a certain point in my driving style where right off the bat, and I don't know, maybe this might be a thing where I'm just like, okay, it's Northern Virginia. But off the bat, I was just like, well, fuck you. I'm not moving.
Fuck
well,
you.
Fuck you, man. Why do I gotta get out of the way?
What was that movie?
That's a dead
Jim
man.
Jarmusch.
Yeah. No, but really, like, it's like, you know, who, I don't know about you, but it's just like, why do I gotta listen to anybody? Like, I'm already going my speed.
I mean,
I'm already going as fast. I'm not gonna get a ticket,
like,
because of this bitch.
If she's like in such a hurry, or whoever's in such a hurry, that if you're like having a baby or something, like, you'd be honking your horn and, like, you know, trying, you know, like, being like boop 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 boop.
Yeah.
You know, like, you would really know that it's like as much of an emergency as possible. Like, you would be putting on like a siren if you had one, you know.
So I maintained my speed, and I might have done like the trap move where I basically kept in line with the muscle car next to us, so basically no one can pass. And I was like, well, fuck this bitch, you know what I mean? It's just like, this is how, I didn't know it was a girl at that time, actually, it could have been anybody. But it was just like, well, are you going to keep flashing your lights at me? That way to be nice about it, you know what I mean? So then I guess the muscle car guy, like, I guess might have seen the flashing, right? And so we backed up, and then that girl was able to, or that whoever was there was able to finally get in line. And then, all right, so now I can tell they're about to pass through, about the pass ahead of us. And so, you know, the first thing, you're right next to you. So I announced, like, all right, get in your, I'm just gonna salute this person and smile, you know what I mean? And then I wasn't able to see this. All I did was, like, salute towards the lady, just like how I do, just like this smart-ass salute, like, all right, good job, there you go. But I didn't see what happened, but you have the visualization of what happened, because it was in my blind spot, basically.
Well, I couldn't actually hear her because, like, she had the window down and I had the window down, so her yelling was kind of pointless. But she basically looked like she was on the Springer Show or something. And she's like,
was she, like, hanging out of the window, like, you motherfucker, it's like, did you, like, when you told me that, I was like,
she didn't have her window rolled down, though, but she was just, like, doing, like, the hand motion, like the Anthony Kiedis rap hands.
But she was, like, aiming it towards us?
Yeah.
And she was, like, legitimately, like, pissed off?
Yeah, like, her face looked nasty. It wasn't like she was just like, fuck you. She was like, oh, like, hey, oh, fuck you, motherfucker, fuck you, man.
She wasn't just like singing. She wasn't like singing or rapping to Lil Wayne in there.
Yeah, I don't know what she was like listening to or what, but she just, like, her face looked all nasty, like she turned into some like demon dog or something.
See,
like, she's all snarling and shit.
But it's like, that's like a bitch move too. At the same time, it's way, like, to me, my perspective is this.
Get out the way, man.
That's like to me, like, when someone does that, that's like shooting like a laser at someone, fully knowing that they have, like, a force field around them. And you're like, well, they have a force field, they're not gonna be able to affected by it, because for one, I can't
the
hear
the funny thing is, like, I was just laughing at her smiling,
yeah,
and
that
I was
is
like,
truly that is truly the best thing that you can possibly do, because even when I got in a fight, like, at, like, the gas station, you know what I mean, like, all I could do was freaking smile at it. I was like, you know, when I left my fight at the gas station, I freaking, like, honked my horn, like, ha, see you later. See you later, bitch. It's like, what are you gonna do about it? You know what I mean?
Well, the best part about
I want to cut you off. Another thing that happened was when I was at Target, right?
And I'm another one.
Another, but I was at Target, and I'm like, you know, I'm driving. I'm not even going very fast, but a lady is like, an older lady, an older, ugly, fat-looking lady, is walking across the street, and, you know, and I slow down, and I visually see this lady go like. She wasn't even hiding it. She goes, like, she basically voices, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? You know, what are you trying to do? As she, like, walks and, like, looks at me. And I was like, serious? And I just, like, freaking honked my horn. She was already leaving, like, half out of my pathway. And I was like, do you serious? Just mouth off to me? I slowed down for you. You know what I mean? I wasn't about to hit you. And then she was like, she gave me that, like, the evil eye. I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I saw that and I laughed. I was like, honk, honk, honk. And then she turned to me and I was like, ha, ha, ha.
Well, I think the best part about today's like,
these are assholes. These are literal assholes. Like, literally, they deserve to have me beat their ass. Because, like, she did. I stopped for that fat bitch. And then she walked across, and then she had no right to give me the evil eye and go, like, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Like, where do you think you're going?
What I'm saying is that the best part of today's altercation was that. Like, she actually didn't get too far, because, like, the whole time that we're, like, with her for, like, the next 5 minutes, we're, like, in the same position as her.
And what exactly?
And then she, like, was turning, and then we were, like, in the same position.
Yeah.
Even though she got off the road, but it was like, what? You didn't save any time in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Like, her whole entire hustle to get around me, she ended up exactly right in front of me. So, of course, what do? I fucking blink my eyelids at her.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Fuck that bitch. Like, really, at the end of the day, it was uncalled for.
I'm just saying, not to, like, you know, put a damper on this, but seriously, you never know how people are, and one of these days, somebody might just pull out a gun.
Yeah, well, I might just pull out a gun, too. You know what I mean?
Just saying. I mean, like, people
Listen,
are just, it's I am just
not,
unnecessary
Like,
sometimes.
No matter what, I am not gonna discredit myself. You know what I mean? They might pull out a gun. It's like, all right,
they might pull out a paintbrush.
You might be able to pull. Yeah, you
pull
can.
Pull out a gun. You might pull out a guitar.
But I feel like it's also like those are like those stupid situations. Like, I remember that one time a guy tried to, like, almost like hit us when he was trying to cut in front of us, and I deliberately held my horn down in front of him, like not in front of him, but the whole time until we got the fuck out of the way, because those things are uncalled for. You know what I mean? But, like, the question I have now is, like, am I just now, like, the asshole Northern Virginia driver that's doing that? But I feel like all these are justified. Like, that lady, and that guy,
but if somebody
and that
was,
one
like,
time.
Nearby, they might be able to get your sense of humor about it. But if there was someone else nearby, they might think it's obnoxious.
Like, I have visually seen some pure, like, unadulterated asshole moves in Northern Virginia when it comes down to parking.
Getting gas,
even like getting into someone's lanes. Like you said, you were saying before, no one even lets anyone. No one's courtesy anymore.
No one likes to let people merge. Like, let's say if like a lane is getting shorter, like one shorter.
Like, it's like, fuck you.
And then
my
like
lane.
there's time where it's like all backed up, and like there even if you're just coming onto the highway and you're trying to merge, people won't let you on. Like, they just won't, like, they don't want anyone in front of them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, well, we're supposed to, like, you know, come off the ramp and merge into the highway.
Yeah.
But people, like, won't let it. But also, if you think about it, people are going, like, 2 miles an hour. So it's like, it's not like you really can go anywhere. You know? It's not like you can get around it. It's like you basically have to merge.
Like, it's a freaking war zone. I don't... See, that's what I wonder. Is it like this just in North Virginia? Is it just these
I mean, I'm sure there's other areas. I'm sure there's, like, other areas. There's probably other bad areas. And also, I've heard, like, California drivers is bad. But, like, when we were in California, I mean, maybe it was the time of day or the season or something. But it just felt like it wasn't as bad as D.C.
I remember watching a video of a guy, you know... Some guy was filming himself while sitting in traffic in LA or in California, and he had like he was talking to himself, and he had like his own iPhone or something like that, or iTouch, and he was like, you know what, man, this traffic makes me so pissed off, dude. You know what makes you want to do? And he shows his iPhone, and it's like a gun. Like, it has like a gun.
Oh, yeah,
and he can like clock it. He's like, I just want to. Yeah, motherfucker, I'm gonna just shoot you, motherfucker. It's like, I've even seen James do that. I've seen James go like, oh man, sometimes I just want to, like, you know, just it all in good fun, not like Columbine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what it gets people. That's why there's a whole bunch of assholes out here, I believe.
I mean,
I've always wondered if I am.
Of like the worst like road rage though that people have. It's almost like, dude, just. Chill out for a second and let somebody merge. You don't have to let the whole line in front of you merge, but one car.
But see,
it's like one car goes in and then the other car goes straight. And then the next person merge.
Yeah.
And then the other, like people, how come people
like,
don't know that?
Or like in those spots where it's like you're supposed to yield for pedestrians, or it's a $500 or a $100 fine and no one yields
to
that.
No one yields. But also it's like...
And then if you do stop, everyone behind you is like, what the fuck are you doing? Honk, honk, honk. You know, you're like, what the hell, dude? It says yield for pedestrians. That's a motherfucking pedestrian right there, you know?
And also, it only takes, like, a couple seconds for them to cross the road. It's not, like, a big ordeal.
But also, there is some really stupidness on the roads that causes, like, a lot of traffic that really gets me annoyed.
Like, my whole thing with the merging is, like, dude, you're not going anywhere. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're going, like, 2 miles an hour or you're stopped, it's like, are you... And then I think it's funny when people, like, basically, like, are 1 inch away from the car's bumper in front of them. Yeah. So they don't want to merge.
they don't want to
get the other person, like, in.
Yeah.
So then they're, like, going to be on this other person's ass.
I love when that situation happens and you look at them and they're, like, they don't want to make eye contact or anything like that. And they're, like... They, like, try to play absolutely oblivious to even
like,
the world.
I don't even know that you're there.
Yeah, I don't even... You know what I mean? They're like,
It's kind of like with, like when people... They just don't want to, like, see the human connection.
Yeah, they're just like, You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to... Why are we talking about driving? I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Because the world...
Change the topic.
The world must know that there's a lot of evil out there, and it's on the road. I spend a lot of time on the road, so I feel like I can exist there. I do feel I'm very courteous to when there's things that need to be courteous, but then when there's straight up assholes, like I just feel like I want to just I return the vengeance.
What
back.
I don't like is in DC area, I don't like how basically you can get almost anywhere within like 15 or 20 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
But then like because of the traffic, sometimes it ends up being like an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's like, how does that happen? Like, but when you drive at night, like say, like let's say 10 o'clock or 10:30.
Yeah.
You can pretty much like it's smooth travels. But then when you're driving during like, you know, like the rush hour time, it's almost like double or triple the time sometimes. It's ridiculous. You know, it's almost... And then if an accident happens, it's even worse.
So,
you know?
So tell me about this... Was it the Jellyfish Vision? What is the show that's coming up next week?
It's called Jellyvision.
Jellyvision? Is this going to be, like, live? Can people watch this on... Like,
it's going to be
live.
Because
I know...
Live.
Is this at the Soundry,
people,
right?
Yeah,
I think... I know the Soundry Ustream stuff, right?
Is this going to be... They do. I think you can actually go to be an audience member live, I believe. Or you can see it from... your own computer while you sit at home.
Nice.
Or you could see it like afterwards.
What are you going to be? You're going to be previewing
at anytime you want.
You're going to be premiering a book over at SPX too, right?
Yes. It's called Curl's Mazer. And it's a very frightening tale of a creature in the dark.
Let's tell the story about Mazer. How'd you create that in this 2 minutes that we have?
Okay. Well, I was asked by Anthony from Fire Studio to do this art exhibit called We Are Monsters. And basically everybody that was involved in the show, I think there might have been around 20 people in the show, and they were asked to make a monster using any type of medium that they want.
With, yeah.
You know, pen and ink, watercolors, you know, photography and oil painting, basically any type of art you want. And at this point, I don't know why, but I really felt like making some type of stuffed animal thingy. So I was like, oh, I'm going to make like this monster. And I made the most threatening monster that comes in my nightmares. And I made
that
him...
comes in your nightmares?
Yeah, I made him like in a stuffed animal form. And it was cool because I was like at first I was going to do a comic or something, but then I just feel like the works on paper, nothing against that, but I just felt like a lot of people would be doing that.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, I'm going to do something that no one's probably going to do. I'm going to make a stuffed animal. So I actually made the stuffed monster. And, like, so, I don't know. Like, it was funny because at first I was like, this is just like a fluff. It looks like a little fluff. And then I also gave him these pieces of gravel that he eats.
Yeah.
And so he had some food with him at the exhibit. And actually, the opening was pretty awesome. We went to the opening in D.C. at Fire Studio.
Yeah.
It's actually Pleasant Plains Workshop. And so many people came, and it was really great. And then so I was like, man, I should make Mazer into the Curl storyline. So I did.
So there we go. And that's going to be the book that's going to be premiering at the SPX this weekend.
And also also the Mazer sold at We Are Monsters.
Cool.
So that's always cool to have your artwork sold at a gallery show.
Exactly.
Definitely awesome.
So hopefully, guys, you enjoyed this show. Hopefully, wherever you are, it's not a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado or wherever it is. You're having a good time. You're out there. But hopefully you catch us at SPX, right?
Yes, check this coming weekend.
And look up curls-studio.com. Also, check out straightproductions.com that produces this show. And what else?
We'll see you next week at Small Press Expo and at Jelly Vision and at Intervention.
Intervention, that's right.
And then later on at New York Comic Con in October.
That's right. So we got a whole bunch of stuff.
News to come at curls-studio.com.
Tune in. We'll keep on making this show for you. With that, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Stay positive, everybody. Human wreck, is that you?